Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Series, and we're going to look at the book of Acts. And let me set this up with here. There were three friends who were going deer hunting. There was a preacher, a lawyer, and a doctor. You know, this is going to start off really well here today. Anyway, just as they started off, they no sooner hit this field, and all of a sudden out of the timber ran this big monster buck. They all pulled up their shotguns and fired, and the buck went down. They got there, and they thought, well, this is a problem, because we only see one bullet hole here. And about that time, a DNR representative showed up and said, what's going on, boys? And he happened to know them all, and they explained, we don't know which one shot the buck. He said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Where were you standing? Looked at the buck, examined, came back, and said, I know exactly what happened. The preacher shot him. He said, how did you know the preacher shot him? He said, well, the slug went in one ear and out the other. All right. So you see, we're actually starting, if we look at the book of Acts, we're going to go through the entire book of Acts. not just today, so relax. But if you look in the book of Acts, there's 11 major sermons that are given. There's actually several other, but we're going to look at sermons that were in the book of Acts, and we're going to break them out and see some pretty amazing things. And so if you'll journey with me, that's where we're going to be the rest of the summer, is going through the book of Acts. And there's a frustration from every preacher that we don't want the words, as we begin to convey the words of our Lord, as we begin to preach Scripture and the message of Scripture, that they don't just go in one ear and out the other. And so we're going to look at some of the things that these early Christians, that these early church leaders, that these individuals who walked with Jesus and had encounters through the Holy Spirit, and underneath the power of the Holy Spirit, they shared the Word of God. So we're going to look at the book of Acts here. Let's read here just this first Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And the author here, we're going to find out, is Luke. And in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now hang on there. What was the first book that Luke had written? It was the Gospel of Luke. So the Gospel of Luke, he begins to talk about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And now the second volume here we see is the book of Acts, where he continues through Jesus after the resurrection, and then the church begins to move forward. So verse 2 says, let's just read that again. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up, and after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay, so what we find out here is a little background here. We have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that chronicle the life of Jesus. The author here, again, is Luke, the same one who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And this book, you know, if you've got like an old King James version, sometimes you'll see it's called the Acts of the Apostles. Have you ever heard the book of Acts called the Acts of the Apostles? Well, it's actually probably, if you want to be a little more accurate, it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit, okay? So we're going to see some pretty amazing things as we realize that Jesus had come. He was God incarnate. He taught. He did miracles to prove whom he was. He foretold of his death. He lived the perfect, sinless life. He went to the cross, and he died, and then he rose again. And those who bore witness to it, Jesus gave instructions to them, and he promised the Holy Spirit. And let's continue on here. Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, to them, to these individuals whom Jesus had who were followers of Jesus, to them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Imagine what it was like to be with Jesus after he had risen from the grave. I mean, wouldn't you be wanting to ask him some questions? What was it like? What's it like on the other? And so Jesus says, look, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let's go on to verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will at this time you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. When, gang? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and on a cloud took him out of their sight. So Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples gathered together and they were awaiting this promise for the day of Pentecost to fully come. And we're going to read here in a few minutes what happened at the day of Pentecost, that these divided tongues of fire, they came and they rested upon each one of the disciples, and that they were able to declare the wonders of God and speak in tongues that they didn't know. They were heard clearly from individuals who had gathered together for this Jewish feast of Pentecost, this wonderful celebration. And all these individuals from many other areas had come together, and now they were seeing this thing. Now, here's what this is very interesting, because in the Old Testament, we know that the presence of God was defined by a pillar of fire. It represented this tangible presence of God. And to encounter the presence of God, you had to go into the temple. You had to go and see this when the wandering of the wilderness. We had this pillar of fire, this pillar of smoke who led the children of Israel. It was symbolic of the presence of God, the actual dwelling of God. And now the great thing is, post-resurrection, Jesus promises his Spirit to be on us. And now, gang, we are the temple. Everybody say, we are the temple. Actually, make it a little personal. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you are. Okay, God's presence dwells with you. Now, this is interesting. It says that, you know, we have all these individuals who had come together. We're going to get into that in just a moment, that they were speaking these different languages, and now they could hear these individuals who didn't, these Galileans, these simple Galileans speaking in languages they didn't know. Well, how did we get these different languages? If we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, I know this is kind of setting this up a long way, but we see the people of the earth having one language, and technology has increased, and they're making hardened bricks and mortar. And in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, they have come together and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Do you think that it's in the heart of mankind to try to find a way to get to heaven on their own? Come on now. I like this. And we're going to make a name for ourselves. In other words, this idea that we will identify ourselves. We're going to resist any outside force except our own desire to identify us. We're going to choose who and what we are. Come on, somebody sound familiar today? So we see this tower that goes up. God sees and he looks down and he recognizes this ain't good. These people are going too far. And so what we understand in Genesis chapter 11 here, it says that he scatters their language. And because their language was scattered, they abandoned the project and it was called the Tower of Babel. And so now from this time on, with the foundation and the basis of we're going to build a tower that's going to get to heaven. We're going to make our way to get to heaven. Well, that doesn't exist in the world today. You talk to the normal person who you meet on the street. How do I get to heaven? Well, I have to be good. If I'm mostly good. I do. I make. I create my own way. Goodness gracious. We got people who just decide that whatever they think, that's reality. rather than what God has clearly laid out. And good heavens, we see His workmanship and we see His craftsmanship in the fabric of all creation. I love reading from certain, like Michael Behe, if you like molecular biology, who dives into the makeup of cells and he sees this blueprint within the DNA that has the handwriting of God within it. You look at individuals, astronomers, and they recognize the delicate balance to even have life in this planet in which we live, the right type of planet, just the right distance from the sun. It's protected from other solar debris and whatnot. And all of these things, it's just like on a razor's edge to allow life. And here we are. Sentient life because God has created us and He has breathed life into us. And in spite of this, mankind constantly tries to do it on their own. Anybody else like me, you just try to do things on your own. It just comes naturally to try to fix things yourself and not rely on God. That's been in the heart of mankind all the way back in Genesis chapter 11. And now God's going to fix it. What man couldn't do themselves, God's going to demonstrate how He did. And so let's get to this sermon. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. How many of you would be freaked out about now? I've heard of heartburn, but this is something different. He says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So here gathered together were people from every nation under heaven. Verse 6, and at the sound of the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Pretty cool here. Going on verse 9. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonged to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? That the barrier was broken. What does this mean? That the barrier was broken. This is a pretty important question that I think sometimes we read right over. What does this mean that the barrier was broken? I'm going to say it one more time so I annoy everybody. What does this mean that the barrier was broken? Well, what was the barrier? The barrier was we're trying to make our own way to God, to make our own way to heaven outside of God's way. And that's what caused us this division. And now that barrier, come on somebody, has been broken. But others, mocking, said they're filled with new wine. In other words, there was something about the behavior that made them think that they'd been hitting the communion wine a little too hard. Pretty significant event. You know, when we kind of press into the Pentecost festival, we find a couple more things that add to our consideration. First of all, the Pentecost festival, from the beginning, it was about the time of the first wheat harvest. It was also a time during the Feast of Weeks here, during the Feast of Pentecost, this celebration, they remembered Moses, come on, going up on Mount Sinai to receive the law. Remember Mount Sinai, fire and smoke? Come on. Fire and smoke, hello, presence of God. And what did they do up on Mount Sinai? Moses got the law. And the law was supposed to let us know about God's holiness. And it was a covenant saying, if you can keep this, this is what we're going to have relationship together. And could we keep this? No. God knew that we couldn't do it. He knew that we weren't able to. And it wasn't that he was setting us up for failure. It's that he was setting us up for redemption, somebody. God never sets you up for failure. God always sets you up for him to come in and do his perfect will in your life. Imagine that church service. So excited. So Jesus came and fulfilled the law, the covenant of Moses, which they could not fulfill. The covenant of Moses was not thrown away. No. We couldn't fulfill it. And so Jesus came and fulfilled the covenant. And now the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is to be the temple of God to the world. And so this begins Peter's awesome sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 21. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel in the last days. It shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and even my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone, let's all read that highlighted together, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a pretty good sermon. You know what he's saying? This is why this sermon was so different. Instead of saying, follow the law, follow the law, follow the law, follow the law. Be good, be good, be good. Building a tower to Babel, building a tower, building a tower. No. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. So three quick thoughts on this sermon today that are very important thoughts for us. Number one, salvation comes through Jesus. I know so many people who frustrate themselves and they feel horrible and their self-image is this big because they think, I fail God all the time. I'm not. You're right. You do. You know who didn't fail God? Jesus. You know why that's important? Because he was good for you and now wants to set up shop in your life if you yield to him. We don't make our own way to God. That was a Tower of Babel. And we are not saved by following the law. That was remembered by the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, okay? We're not saved by following the law. We're not saved by doing our own good works or making our own way. We are saved through Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, we already know that. Do we? Do we? Do we? Kind of like, I like what Wayne said this morning. I think a lot of us maybe do that Sunday thing. We put the blood on the doorpost Sunday, then we get a hose out and wash it off Monday. Got to get back to the regularly scheduled business. And then by the time Friday comes, we feel guilty enough that we need to go back and get a refill on Sunday. Put the blood back on the doorpost, get back to life as normal. That's not what Jesus said. Because in essence, you're doing one of the two. You're building your own way, or you're trying to follow the law. You're trying to do something good instead of letting the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ transform our heart. Let's get back to this sermon, because this sermon's better than anything that I could have ever preached. 2:22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and with wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. In other words, because Jesus lived a perfect, pure life, death had no hold on him. So he arose. He arose and led captivity captive. Jesus declares, or Peter declares, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And here he tells them, we saw it. We saw it. Verse 32. And this Jesus, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. I have seen the living Jesus whom you killed. He says, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. In other words, he's saying the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that's what you're seeing and it's freaking you out. Second point, the evidence of your changed life is a testimony to others. Here's the difference, and here's what frustrates me, and here's why I said that story at the beginning about the slug going in one ear and out the other. It is a heretical belief to somehow think that we receive Christ and say the same, that we don't change. Jesus himself said that if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. That you must be born again. In other words, along with Jesus comes a new life. And again, I think that holds true. And I hope you're a little uncomfortable here today, or I'm not doing my job. If you sit there and you go through the motions and you've got that cycle of sin in your life where I just kind of go back to business as normal. And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and boy, you know what? I gotta appease my guilt. So I gotta go to church and do something good. So I'll feel more saved. Brother, you got some problems. The evidence of your changed life is a testimony to others. True story. I went out to my garden. My garden is very interesting this year. I got tomato plants that got little itty bitty stems, and they're producing, but it's kind of weird. And I went and I kept looking for cucumbers. It's like, where are these cucumbers? I can't. And I looked where I planted cucumbers, and I found something that looked like a pepper. Cucumbers and peppers look nothing alike. Now, I'm not a very good gardener. So, I realized something. As much as I thought and I wanted where I thought that I had planted cucumbers, the fact that I thought it was a cucumber didn't change the fact that it wasn't. It was, in fact, a green pepper. Yes, I didn't know which plant was which when I planted them, and I got confused. The little tags came off, and that's on me. But some of us are walking around calling ourselves Christians, and we got absolutely no Christian fruit on our tree. I'm sorry. What's the fruit on your tree? You don't act like something to become something, but fruit comes naturally. A pepper plant naturally produces a pepper. A grapevine naturally produces grapes. No one say raisin, because that's a mistake. You let that one go. The raisin's nothing more than a dead fly. Anyway. bad preacher. Gang, the evidence of your changed life is a testimony to others. Now look, don't walk out of here at all and say that I act, my behavior somehow creates in me to become a Christian. I'm saying this. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit takes up residence inside of us when we accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And as we yield to God's Spirit, we bear His image to the world. In other words, there is fruit that accompanies your walk of faith. Now, before someone goes through an identity crisis, I want you to know that there are some times that, look, that we don't do a good job tending and yielding. And that is something that all of us, and I mean all of us, need to work on, is our continued walk with Christ, our continued yielding to Him. But your changed life, your speech and your character, all will point to Jesus. The evidence of your changed life is a testimony. Let's continue in final and get to the end of Peter's amazing sermon. This is an awesome sermon. He says, now when they heard this, so here's the altar call. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and they said, fire him. No, they didn't. No. They said, look, Peter, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So to those who received his word and were baptized and were added that day, about 3,000 souls. Peter has declared this. So my final point, it's a pretty simple one. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. If you have never made a decision, I want you to know you've made a decision. If you've never made a decision for Christ, you have made a decision. You've made a decision to not decide, which is a decision to walk on and to harden your heart. We don't, and what's sad is in the church today, this message has become watered down. Worship team, you can go ahead and come up. Repentance, now, and I'm just going to tell you, in our society today, repentance has fallen out of favor. People say, how dare you try to force your morality upon you? And it's not this. It's in fact, as I said earlier, God hasn't set you up for failure. He's set you up for redemption. God wants to redeem our fallen nature. He wants to give us a new spirit. He wants to set up shop within us and allow us to be born again. So I just want to remind everybody, you don't make your own way to heaven. You don't just sit there and say, this is what makes sense to me. And because it makes sense to me, I'll walk in that way. I got a question for, and I know that that's popular. That's vogue today. Whatever you think goes. And I got to just ask this question to those people who may have that mindset. Are you the smartest human being to ever live? Have you created, let's go back to Job. Where were you when creation was established? How do you explain literally all of the wonders that God has already done? The evidence that He has given. We don't make our own way to heaven. We cannot be good enough through the law. If you're running Sunday to Sunday to get a refill, I get it. I understand that. And that's why we want to come together. But God wants to set up shop within you. If you haven't repented, if you have not repented, and by the way, that's what baptism is. You know what this is? It's not just a ritual. It's not just a symbol. This is like a cemetery. It's literally, we're going and we're burying the old man. Woo, that's cold. We're burying the old man. And it's also like a wedding. We're not just walking around engaged. We're going to go through and get married. It's a wedding. It's a funeral. So, hey, anybody who has not repented and been baptized and the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart, I got cold water. I got robes. And I'm going to ask you this question. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The time is now. The time is now. If you've never repented and been baptized, I invite you to come forward and become part of God's family today. Think, well, I didn't come prepared. You know what?
I went to Dollar General last night, and I got swimsuits, and I got robes, and I got towels. You have no excuses. If God's knocking at the door of your heart, receive Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank You and I praise You for Your word. Thank You for these wonderful expressions of Your love. You didn't set us up for failure. You set us up to be loved by You in a way that changes everything. Lord, I know a lot of us here, we've been in the church a long time. And I also know, God, that there's some of us maybe who've just kind of gone along with the flow and never made an actual decision for ourselves. And Father, I pray if You're knocking at the door of any heart here today, that they would respond, that they would repent, that they would be baptized, that they would become part of Your kingdom through faith, not through any work that we do, but because of grace and mercy, which You demonstrated to us on the cross. Thank You that You have conquered the grave, that You have not straddled us with the job of fixing ourselves or making our way to heaven, but that You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by You. We open up, Father, the altar today, that any person who needs to repent and be saved can come today. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.